A micro-budgeted kaiju film picked up by SRS Cinema so far has been the recipe for disaster. But can an original kaiju with a Native American background be the exception that proves the rule? Let's find out this week as we return to American homemade cinema. This is Kaiju vs. History, Uktena, the Horned Monstrosity.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your general major, generally speaking, Patrick, and joining me is a scientist with a degree in wearing lab coats. It's Miles. Hey, Miles.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, don't be so down. We're talking about Uktena, the Horned Monstrosity, this week.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
Which you can get on Tubi. Tubi has been pretty amazing in the last year or so for this podcast, quite a boon to our watching. But as we mentioned there in the intro, buy this on DVD and maybe Blu-ray on SRS Cinemas.
And I have such conflicted feelings about SRS Cinema. Like, on one hand, I love that someone is doing the work and bring some of like the worst of the worst out, but they've also like done some great like restorative work to actual like lost classics and stuff. So it's like, I don't know how to feel about them sometimes. They also swerve to some softcore as well. So there's also that.
We wouldn't have, a host of kaiju movies over here in the West if it weren't for SRS Cinema negotiating the rights with, studios in Japan and Korea and allowing us things like Space Monster Wong Magui, which we didn't love in general as a kaiju movie, but
with the exception of the 10 out of 10 character of Spider.
the movie got a 5 out of 10, but it is one of the earlier 1967 Korean kaiju films, and it was, I feel like, a awesome little time capsule for us to watch.
It is, like, despite the fact that we gave it a middling score because it deserved it for the most part. The monster is not that particularly interesting or well suited, but you did have that. Focusing on this little rascal that they did made the movie like completely worth watching. I tell people that they should watch this movie specifically for that one character, because the rest of the movie is whatever. It is a time capsule, and that's kind of cool, to get a piece of Korean cinema from that time period. But at the same time, like, it's not really good.
SRS is great. They have a whole category on their website of kaiju / tokusatsu films, and Space Monster Wong Magui is the banner for that, but they've also put out editions of the Raiga series. I think it was the first place that had Howl from Beyond the Fog on DVD. And you'll know that they also do VHS releases for some of their films, because I might have accidentally bought one and sent it to you.
Yep.
But I appreciate them that they're a little non-discerning in the films that they're picking up, because I don't think if we didn't get the rights for SRS, a lot of these I don't think would be on Tubi, because part of the bringing them over is, the translation process. Not a problem with this week's film in Uktena, the Horned Monstrosity, because we've got a American movie.
Yes. Sorry, I was getting distracted on the SRS website because they have a movie called Ring Shark, which seems to be exactly what it sounds like. It seems to be combining The Ring with a sci-fi shark movie. And I just got very distracted. I just copied the hilarious poster, which is literally a parody of the American Ring poster. with a shark coming out of the well.
And lots of micro budget shark movies on there as well. But I'm a big fan of SRS, and I've been pretty. I've bought both merchandise and DVDs and Blu-rays from them, and I've been very happy with the quality of everything that they've put out. And for some of the Blu-rays, you get like free posters with them. So I hate to turn this into an ad for SRS, who's not a sponsor of us, but in general, I recommend going through them if you're interested in a lot of the movies of the last season. Especially, they've been putting out, well, they've put out Outer Man, which we really enjoyed, Monster Seafood Wars, Nazura 1964, tons of films that I don't think we would have access to were not for them. And you can get on sale right now Uktena, the Horned Monstrosity, for $9.95, which pretty good deal. You know, most of their DVDs, I think, are about twice that. And I guess I can read a little bit of the description. On the SRS website, it says, quote, inspired by the kaiju / big monster movies of the 50s and 60s, this feature-length film presents the saga of Uktena, based on the Native American myth of the horned serpent. Yeah, that's pretty fair. I don't think, because we've got like two or three different posters and pieces of art for covers for Uktena, that I would have thought it was so kind of micro budget as it was. What did you know about this movie before we went into it?
Pretty much that it was a kaiju movie that was being distributed by SRS Cinema.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is like, some of these movies, they don't really have a reputation because they didn't really get properly released. Like, these get put out in the same way that, you know, a glut of found footage movies get put out through like Tubi and stuff. They got some sort of distribution somewhere, and this seems to serve a somewhat lucrative purpose, I guess.
Did you
know about this movie before we like put it on the list?
I think I put it on the list because of advertising from SRS. Yeah. So I started buying SRS DVDs, I think, back around the pandemic, when they started putting out things like Monster Seafood Wars, which I don't think there was another way to watch it, like online at the time.
No, yeah, you're right. And that's the wild thing, is you have some of these like actual gems, like, or, you know, real Japanese kaiju movies like Monster Seafood Wars or The Great Buddha Arrival or something like that, as well as Zilla.
Oh, whoa. You know, spoilers for next week. Also,
I was gonna say,
yeah, I'm looking up on my shelf, and I've got the Great Yokai War Guardians on Blu-ray, which I probably could have just watched that one online. But I think at the time there was just a lot that hadn't made that transition to, you know, YouTube or Tubi or Amazon Prime. A lot of their SRS films are on free on if you have Prime as well. Yeah, so I think, you know, I had watched the trailer for Uktena, and I will say I was intrigued, because we actually have a kaiju movie here where the monster, the movie is named after the monster. Kind of weird name, obviously, but it is based on actual Native American myth. Do you want to
tell us what's in the title? Sorry, I knew you were setting up for that, but I just...
Well, yeah, the Uktena, or there's actually a couple names from various legends. Uktena is a serpent / dragon like mythical creature from Cherokee legend, often with depicted as having like horns sticking out of the top of its head, and perhaps sometimes a gem or rock that it uses to hypnotize prey. And yeah, it is something that I've never heard of, you know, before this movie, but is a actual aspect of several tribes in around the region. But mostly, I think this one is being drawn from Cherokee mythology. So there's plenty of cool stuff that you can see online. I kind of wish that the monster in this movie had been a little closer to its original description, because what we do end up getting is a bipedal more Godzilla-like creature, which is fine, but I don't feel like it is super attached to the original mythology of the monster. Yeah, and that is the description from IMDb goes a little bit further into the plot. This monster is awoken perhaps by man's greed, but I think they also make reference to the atomic bombing in World War II as one of the things that kind of woke it up. So it is taught very Godzilla coded in that respect. And then, yeah, the main characters are a sheriff, a scientist, and a professor who go about stopping it throughout the course of the film. And
you know, it's really generous that you call them characters.
They are, I think, the actors or the director's friends, the director being Dan Trainer, who we'll talk about in a bit. And they're older gentlemen for the most part, and he's an older gentleman himself. It doesn't seem like anyone here is like really classically trained actors. This is definitely, you know, exactly what it is. It's a micro budget kind of homemade styled kaiju film. The problem is it actually has some elements, technical elements, that I feel like are okay, are somewhat above average for this side of the genre, the micro budget genre. And we'll talk about those, but you know, it has a followable story, you know, and like, I hate that that is a bar for some of these movies that we have to set, but like, it has a story that you can sit down and watch and follow. So that there's a point in its technical column right there, Miles.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, also,
what do you want to talk about first, bud?
Well, here's the thing. I do agree with you, and I'm going to answer a question you typically reserve before we give our ratings. But I think that the movie starts pretty strong. The opening narration is actually pretty well done and well written.
Yeah. Yeah. We got kind of like a little bit of history.
Yeah. You get this
lost cool stock footage.
You get this cool like story. It's basically kind of the giving you the folklore of Utena over, yeah, some stock footage and stuff. And I thought it was up until, you know, anyone else starts talking, I was like, oh, this is a pretty decent production. They're like, I can forgive everything else. Kind of, like, I can forgive, like, you know, just local acting and not having money for special effects, so long as you're actually like giving something that's well thought out. And that opening narration is really, really strong. Like, it's probably the strongest thing about the movie to me.
Jerry Royes, I believe, is the narrator. He's also the sole Native American gentleman in the film.
I was worried that would be the case because he's a little bit of a cartoon. In a flattering way.
Just about every character in the movie is a cartoon, but I would say the main character is probably Sheriff Pancho Bravo, which sounds like a character out of Dr. Strangelove, you know.
Right.
Sheriff Pancho Bravo killed the kaiju. And then there's Doc Collins and Colonel Tuttle, some other characters in the film. And like I said, they're all gentlemen in their, I would say, 60s, maybe a little bit older. And I think they are, I'm just guessing that they are known to Dan Trainer, who is the director of the film. Dan Trainer is more widely known as a blues musician, I believe guitar.
Okay, that answers a burning question that I have had. I even wrote down, why do we keep referring to blues music? Like,
yeah,
unprompted the entire movie.
Well, and you got cameos from people that I think are in his, again, in his social circle, like the Fay Wray style blues, African-American blues singer that gets her building destroyed by Utena. You know, it's a short scene, but it definitely feels a little out of place.
It belonged in Zarkor, to be honest. Just the type of set they were using.
And it was, you know, bad blue screen there. There's also, I believe maybe it's the director's son, I want to say David Trainer, is the
Yeah, because it's like a Dan David production is usually what they put on there.
It's a kind of a audio joke at first that there is a character that is watching a monster movie marathon.
Monster Fest
on like the local TV, and the news of this actual kaiju attacking keeps interrupting, and we only hear his voice at first being like, oh man, come on, get back to the monsters and things like that. But eventually we do see him and his mom, who they begin to evacuate in front of the monster, evacuate into like a classic 1950s like Studebaker kind of car. And the joke is like, he's like, oh, all right, get in the car, I'm gonna get the essentials. And he goes back to the house multiple times to pull out like 7 different guitars. Like, he keeps coming out with like 3 guitars at a time. And again, I feel like
I guess for all of his blues buddies, that joke killed.
Oh, yeah. I am absolutely certain in his private screening that is classic. And you know what? I'm on Dan Trainor's side. It is obvious, like, you know, besides probably a very talented blues musician, he had a passion for kaiju movies, maybe had a passion as well for Cherokee history, and took all of his loves, his the things that he enjoyed in life, and got, you know, together however much this movie cost to make, got his friends together and shot a ton of footage to make a feature length film. You know, the runtime ends up before the credits being about 82 minutes or so, and honestly probably a lot of that could have been cut. I honestly thought the movie was coming to an end at about like the 40 minute mark, where it's like the end of the first attack, but then it's like day 2. I was like, oh no. There's so much more to this movie.
I think where it tricked me is when it said day 3, like, because because day 2 ends, I'm like, okay, this is the end of the movie, this is a natural conclusion. Nope, we have 20 unwarranted minutes to go.
There's a little bit of an epilogue. It's like 10 minutes of like, this is, you know, what could happen again if Uktena returns, kind of thing.
And it's hilarious that you say that, because literally 1 month ago, Dan put out the trailer for Uktena Returns.
No.
Yes, he did.
How did I miss this in my research?
Oh, it is like 2 minutes long. It makes no sense. And at the end, it just says Uktena Returns, coming soon.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I will say Uktena actually looks a lot better in the trailer. I mean, by no means amazing, but it looks like they went for CGI rather than a suit.
Interesting.
But yeah, Uktena Returns is going to be releasing in the near future, so that expect to hear that at some point from us. Little fun preview.
No, this is still pseudomated, right? No,
let's see. Yeah, if some of the CGI to me now.
I gotta say, like I said, I am in.
You're a
the Trainor's
fan.
Corner. Well, I mean, we'll talk about it.
Like and subscribe on that YouTube channel there.
let's not get crazy here, man. Let's not get crazy. Well, it's so funny because I did actually go to his YouTube channel and to look at some of the behind the scenes things. And it's mostly, you know, his musical career that's on his channel here. But
it is because he does have a feature called Making a Monster. But yeah, most of his YouTube is like some old dude's like blues thing. And then just like, hey, I made a monster movie.
Yes. Yeah. And like I said, you know, just
kind of hilarious.
Get your chocolate and peanut butter and mix them together. And, you know, you might have some fun things. I'm not gonna lie, I'm stoked for Uktena Returns. Let's go. But let's talk about this movie first. Wow, can't believe I missed that. Dan Trainor.
I can't believe I got it before you did. That's hilarious.
You broke some news. We're adding it to the list right now.
Yeah, so.
Oh, can we talk about Uktena itself? Talk about the monster?
I'm not in love with the design, but I don't hate it. Like, it's fair. It works for what it is. I mean, if I'm thinking of a micro budget monster that at least was made by someone who cared, like, this is it. You know, you can tell that, like, it's not made out of laziness. It's not like we've seen with like your Not Zillas or Zillafoot. Like, it definitely feels at least that particular suit feels like it was made someone who was actually trying to make a kaiju costume.
Yeah, it feels like maybe there are some elements that are built up over other things. Like the mask itself doesn't feel like it's made from the ground up. It feels like maybe a dragon mask that has been
modified.
Changed up a little bit. But I gotta say, I think there are elements of this suit that are done very well. Like, I kind of like the cowl over the chest as like elements of scales. I don't know about the fur, and the tail definitely needed a lot of work, but I will say it feels like they put a great deal of effort into the suit. Yeah, because they knew that they wanted to play around with it a good deal, and we actually get, besides Suitimation, miniature sets, which is not something I would ever expect from a micro budget film. They are not the best miniature sets. They definitely feel like something created in someone's basement, and there's elements of it that I have a lot of problems with. The train, especially the train scene, referencing Godzilla's like subway scene. It's a elevated train, you know, which I don't even remember if that was what Godzilla picked up, but an elevated train that is a steam engine locomotive. And, you know, being kind of a train aficionado myself, I understand like buying an actual, like, this is probably just what Dan Trainer had in his basement. And was like, we're using this train. This is free. Probably just what he had on hand. But, you know, if you're spending all this money and you want to make this movie look great, like a New York City subway train, I think of that large scale. It's probably like the largest model train scale that they have. You know, it's like $500 for like three train cars or so. So it's like it's an expense to be sure, but it seemed like it was going to be a pretty major part of day one of the monster's attack. So it does seem like they just spent so much on making these buildings, which for the most part, like, I can forgive because of the micro budget, but there's a little paper mache quality to the buildings.
Right.
Which, you know, because most of them are about to be smashed by the actor in the suit. But what did you have a opinion on the miniatures in the film?
I thought some of them were, I mean, like, I did appreciate the effort, because a lot of times we just get and even in this movie, some a bad single green screen shot and some, you know, purchased, poorly placed explosions. Actually, going through the effort to make miniatures, I agree with you, is certainly a step in the right direction for these micro budget films. I thought some of the miniature sets looked good. I thought some of them did not. It is kind of a mixed bag, and that always hurts, I think, the miniature conversation, because I think we talked about this a little bit in the 60s era, because, you know, there would be some movies where, like, it looks like they really went all in on the miniatures, and then you'd see another shot somewhere else, and for that was a different location, and it seems like, okay, well, they put all that effort in that opening shot, but that that quick pass you just took, they threw that together in 25 minutes. So that's present here. It isn't the best miniature work, but, like, if you're talking about a micro budget, like, just the effort alone, and I think they did a solid job for what they were working with, but don't mistake that faint praise as like, oh yeah, the miniatures were awesome. They're not, but the effort is admirable.
Exactly. Maybe I'm just so smitten with this movie, because it does seem like it's the director doing most everything by himself. But also, I gotta say, I like this more than most of the Asylum films we've watched of late, you know?
I mean, it's certainly better than all of the other American SRS schlock we've watched.
Yeah, that's not a high bar. Those are mostly T's.
It's not a high bar at all, but is infinitely more enjoyable to watch than your Zilla Foots, than your Not Zillas, your Conga TNTs, all of that garbage. This is absolutely better than that. again, faint praise. I cannot stress enough how faint this praise is.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it's quite all right.
I know you and Dan are pen pals now, but
you know, you joke. I was about to. I'm going to find a way to comment on these YouTube videos.
Well, you'd be one of three people, so I think you can probably make an impact.
I want to leave some encouragement. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I do appreciate the effort. It is. There's part of this that kind of makes me feel like I just witnessed a man's midlife crisis in real time. Because it's like, all right, you're done being a blues musician. Well, what are you going to do now? Or you're still a blues musician, but like, I don't know. Your life's, you know, passed you by, or I have no idea. But at some point, he's like, I'm going to get all my buddies together and make a kaiju film.
And he's having a good time, Miles. Let the man enjoy retirement from music.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
I want the Atena trilogy.
That doesn't mean I'm going to give you a pass just because, like, I like the cut of your jib, you know?
I mean, I will say there's some wild stuff in here. Like, he's in the movie. I don't know if you knew that. He's one of the two hillbillies that gets killed by Uktena early on.
Yeah.
Who, for some reason, have, like, ball and black powder muskets while they're out hunting. I was like, what?
There's that. Also, what year they have this weird added footstep sounds when they're in the woods.
It is.
Like, the added audio is just wild to me. And then
there are,
here's the thing.
It's his first movie.
This has some of the exact same problems with sexism and weird sexist jokes, even if they're meant to be self-aware, that every other micro-budget American kaiju film seems to have.
Yeah.
And let's also talk about the attempted movie tropes. Like when the sheriff and the professor come in to meet the sheriff and the other guy, I can't remember what his position is, the other doctor, go to meet the professor in her office, and the film tries to make her seem like some sort of femme fatale.
Kayla Rose plays Dr. Greco. I think that's the character, and beautiful woman, I will say that, but she is a Colorado 10, you know, and like a New York 6. It's just someone that they had access to, it feels like, you know.
Oh, it is absolutely someone they had access to. There's no doubt in my mind.
But they literally have the characters like Wile E. Coyote, like eyes bugging out over this character. And it's like, first of all, just calm down, you horny old man. Second of all, she's like not dressed provocatively either. She's just like,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, she's just dressed like a normal day at work, and the music's like, and you're like, what is happening?
And she's in the movie for like 3 minutes.
On one of them.
Yeah, yeah. They talk about her a lot in the rest of the movie, but I don't think she comes back. Right?
I don't think she does.
No,
I don't care.
we get some other.
No, I think she does pop up at least in one more scene.
Well, we get some actresses later on as reporters and things, but
oh my gosh, the reporters! Don't get me started on the reporters. the least enthusiastic people you could have ever hired to deliver the news.
Well, I will say legacy for this film. Apparently, we're getting a sequel. Boy, howdy, I can't wait. Let's get to rating it, because it does sound like we are in two different worlds. I don't think our scores are going to be that different.
Yeah.
I understand, Miles. This is not a good movie.
No.
But is it terrible? Maybe.
Kind of depends.
I feel like I said, this is towards the top of the American SRS published DVDs. Not a hard list to beat out. I feel like this movie, at most, you should experience it once. It's free on Tubi. If you're a fan of people making independent kaiju movies, you know, support Dan Trainer for once. But yeah, I will probably forget about this. I'm not gonna lie, I watched it last week. I've forgotten most of the plot details about the movie.
That's the problem, is like there is no real plot details. It's just like,
it's pretty basic. Yeah,
it's this is what is the problem with a lot of the American micro budget. I think I harp on this every single time. No one bothers to have a story. Everyone just wants to create the same beats that are associated with these kind of movies, but they don't they don't offer anything. And this one is just as guilty as the other ones. It's just, it's less cringe-inducing for the most part.
I will give you that. I will say that it is probably less watchable, though, than Bully. Not Zilla, I think, might still be my favorite, even though it's terrible.
Oh, I hate that one. I would absolutely rather watch this than Not Zilla.
Well, what's your score for Octana?
So I do appreciate the at least the attempt at a unique kaiju creature using First Peoples folklore as the basis. I mean, I think that's a good avenue to come at an American creature.
Yeah, finally something original. You know?
Yeah, I think that's great. I love that idea. And, you know, I wish that there was more to it. It was like, it felt like Dan Trainor came up with this idea and that's all he had. He had the idea. He didn't have the characters. He didn't have the story, but he had like the point he wanted to make.
Didn't have the directorial talent. I do appreciate talent.
That. Yeah. That opening narration goes a long way for me. The rest of it is your traditional bad American fare, but it is done with at least a lot more, I think, it just seems a lot more earnest than prior movies, despite that it's the top of a very specific tier. But I will give it that, and I'll probably give it a better rating than the other SRS from my personal enjoyment. So I'm gonna award this one a 4.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that is high praise. I will agree with you. It is the best of the worst. Of the worst.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
But yeah, that's for our personal enjoyment. I think technical, I'm going to be a little harsher. It gets a lot of points from attempting, like you said, attempting things that other micro budget films just don't try, like full Cinemation, miniature cities. But yeah, the direction, the editing of this film, the acting, the music, just about every other technical aspect brings down. But yeah, like I said, if I were giving this technical points on effort or attempt, it would probably get closer to like a 5. But as far as execution goes, I'm dropping it down to a 3 out of 10, which it's not great on our scale. 3 on the technical is notably flawed and frustrating.
I am right there with you. I mean, the acting is, I mean, a bunch of pals, which again, there is something to be appreciated about that. But if I'm watching this as a film and I'm rating it as a film, I have to analyze it and appropriately, you know, rate it, you know, that way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the acting is just is it's non-existent. The writing is just not there. The score is one of those that kind of weird stock score that I, for whatever reason, I have to hear over and over again. It feels like someone was taking like an episode of like Are You Afraid of the Dark from the 90s.
That's the thing. He's a musician. Like
pisses me off the most.
We would have gotten, you know, just like a background score.
And not a blues score at all.
Yeah. Or at the very least, give us Octana the song, you know.
Right, absolutely. I fully agree.
There's a song in the credits, but yeah,
there's a song in the credits, but like why did not, you know, they had the one actor who was First Peoples, he played a song, but it was just instrumental. Why did you not have like him and some, you know, blues daddy come together to make a song that, you know, put it back to sleep or something, you know, like that to me is like, okay, yeah, that's the movie. But yeah, I'm with you. It's a 3 out of 10. It's just every aspect of this movie does pretty much fail. It's just, there is a lot more earnestness that does earn it a little bit more points for both of us. I think I certainly like Dan Trainor more than I've liked a lot of the other personalities that we've had. And, you know, I wish him the best. I mean, like I said, from watching the trailer, it looks like he's learned a little bit from the last Utena. That doesn't mean I'm going to get a, you know, an 8 out of 10 movie, but hey, maybe we'll get ourselves like a standard 5.
What do you think about its importance as a kaiju cinema film, Miles? Where do you rate this on that scale?
3.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think, like, look, I love that this movie exists. I love that people are making this kind of stuff, even if I don't love it, because that's part of the magic of what the influence of this subgenre is. And as long as there's a bunch of people getting together to make monster movies, I think that's awesome. However, if I'm having a conversation about the history of kaiju films, if I'm talking about, like, yeah, I might give this an example of an SRS American release that, yeah, watch this one, not the others. But that's not exactly, you know, that's a footnote in the conversation about kaiju cinema and the history of kaiju cinema. It's not really a feature. And so, yeah, I have to be pretty harsh on its importance to kaiju eiga and go with a 3 out of 10. What about you?
I'm giving it the highest points for kind of its importance, because I do think that you get better by, you know, putting yourself out there.
For sure.
As far as indie filmmaking goes. And this is his first film. So I'm applauding him for adding something, even if it's not an original plot, to the kind of kaiju world. And a Native American twist on a kaiju, an American kaiju, is honestly a little bit surprising that it hasn't happened.
Yes.
Not game-changing, you know, this movie. Definitely still on the side of a, you know, passion project. But like I said, I'm happy Dan Trainer was able to pour his passion into this project despite its shortcomings. So a 5 out of 10 from me for its importance, which, you know, it's up there with, I would say, some kaiju adjacent films as far as that score goes. You know, like I said, I feel like if you are a completionist, this is one to watch because it's free on Tubi. If not, maybe just wait and see if Oktena Returns is any better, any worth it. Honestly, yeah, I'm definitely stoked about this sequel.
I know. I'm glad I could gift this to you all this live and sunny Sunday.
Like I said, I was on his YouTube channel. I don't know how I missed it. So yeah, that's going to be, it's a 4 out of 10 for me, a 3 out of 10 from you with a little mustard on it. So our podcast final is a 4 out of 10, which is, yeah, it's high on the American list. I think it puts it below Notzilla, but it's mostly because I gave Notzilla a 6 out of 10. I really enjoyed it.
You're a moron.
I would watch Notzilla again. Probably want to watch Oktena.
I think I gave it a 3.
Yeah, same as this. But yeah, this one is easy enough to find. I think there's also some uploads on YouTube. But that is going to do it for Oktena, the Horned Monstrosity. We'll see if we get an Oktena Returns, but until then, where can folks find us if they want to chat about kaiju?
Well, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Blue Sky at kaijuversushistory and go to our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends, let us know what you think and what you think about the films that we're watching. Check our Letterboxd account to see our reviews and watch our entire list of films. And if you want to chat to Patrick and I and all of our fun friends in real time, you can go to our sister podcast's website, cosmiccrick.com, click on that Discord link, and there is a Kaiju versus History channel that you can talk to Patrick and I and our wacky friends in real time about anything kaiju related. Most often it's news and toys. But yeah, come say hi. We have had actually an influx of new folks come in, and it's been awesome. We've had some really fun chats. Kind of coincided with the theatrical re-release of Shin Godzilla, which did very well theatrically.
Yep.
So, yeah. What are we doing next week, bud?
Thank you, Miles. Thank you, listeners. We're going to catch you on the next episode when we return to the land of Japan for a reboot sequel to a series of horror delights, this time kiddified for general audiences, with the return of a fan favorite in the form of Bujin, aka Daimajin. But can the giant statue save this kaiju adjacent film? Find out along with us, because that's next time on History versus the Great Yokai War Guardians.